VATS is an advancement for patients who might not have tolerated a more invasive procedure, but it's still a major event.
Patients coming into the hospital on the morning of surgery is one of the more difficult times for them, because then it's real and they know they're about to undergo surgery, and that's usually when they're most anxious.
Good morning, can I help you?
Yeah, I got here actually a little bit too early. Got here at 4:45. I was supposed to be here at 5:30. But I sat outside in the lobby. They opened up admitting at 5 o'clock. Came in and just went to the admitting waiting area. And here I am.
All you need to do now is go to sleep, pick out a dream.
Absolutely.
And rest comfortably. We'll take care of it.
You bet.
I'll talk to your wife when we're done.
Okay. I really appreciate it.
Okay. All right. See you inside. We're off.
Okay.
7:15 a.m. Stephen is wheeled to the operating room. He'll receive anesthesia, have IV lines placed in his wrist, and a catheter inserted in his bladder. Tiny video cameras play a crucial part in the procedure.
And then we begin by looking down the airway with a scope, called a bronchoscope, so we can look inside the lung with a small tube and a camera to get an idea of what's going on inside. Once we complete that evaluation, we'll make three incisions, one for a camera that's about the size of my little finger, and the other two for our small instruments. The main issue that people need to understand about minimally invasive techniques of any kind, they're just an access into the body. So it's just a way of getting to the space you're operating on. It shouldn't change what you do once you're there. In this case, we're going to be taking out the bottom part of the lung, and we're going to do it all minimally invasively. And that'll be done using cameras to see and TV screens for the surgeons to view. It's a little bit like a video game. We're operating with our hands, and we're looking on a TV screen.
For patients in the early stages of non-small cell lung cancer, often surgery is a standard treatment option.
Non-small cell cancer is more common and much more amenable to surgical resection as part of the mainstay of therapy. So if it's an early stage, either stage one or two, where the tumor is in the lung or only spread to lymph nodes within the lung proper, surgery is the first step. Lung cancer surgery is critical. You can't debate it. It's if you have localized lung cancer, the only treatment is surgery. Now, where does VATS fit into that? VATS is a technique to get into the chest that doesn't traumatize the patient. If they have less trouble getting through that surgery, then if they do need that chemotherapy, or they need that pill therapy, or they need some radiation, they're much better able to tolerate it.
Dr. Swanson performed VATS to remove a portion of Barbara Barron's lung and to complete a lymph node dissection.
We removed the tumor, was sending everything to the lab, and then we found out that one of the lymph nodes, one, was suspicious. The oncologist said, well, we just want to cover all the bases. It was very small. He knew it had to come out. He felt that even though they got it all, that they should take 4 months of chemotherapy. Okay, we did the surgery. Now the next hurdle is the chemotherapy. And then the next hurdle would be, go on with your life.
It had gotten into some of the lymph nodes in the lung, but not in the center of the chest. So we caught it before it had spread beyond the lung itself. And with the adjuvant chemotherapy, there's a very good chance she's cured.
Arnold assumes the role of caregiver and cheerleader.
I don't know exactly what she's going through all the time. So to me, my mission was to do whatever I could to be supportive. Well, I just simply tried to do what I had control over. And it's worked out. And tomorrow's the last day.
You can get through anything if you know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. So I'm ready.
Stephen is undergoing VATS for the second time.
we're finding that patients are living longer. Some of them are being cured, and some of them are living long enough that if when they get a recurrence, we have another option at that point. He had a tumor from his thyroid gland, and then 8-9 years later, a second set of tumors that spread to his lung. It's a different biology of the tumor, but it still needs to be dealt with and removed. And again, had we taken a more conservative approach back in 2000, he wouldn't have been around to get the second one. Anytime you redo a surgery in any case, it's more of an issue because of the scar that forms. But again, the difference is that if you can do VATS the second time and avoid the thoracotomy, then you get all those advantages of avoiding that bigger incision, cutting the ribs, spreading the ribs, all the pain, the trauma. And I think with Dr. Levine, it was just reoperative surgery with scar that has to heal in a setting of taking 2/3 of that lung out. So it's a slower process, but in terms of healing up, pain medicine, that kind of thing, he got the same benefit the second time as the first with that surgery.
In Atlanta, Julian Walker is ready for his procedure.
See you, fella.
We're going to do this minimally invasively. We put a special breathing tube in, so when we work on the lung, it will be completely collapsed. There's three monitors that the whole team will see and I see. The hardest thing about minimally invasive surgery is that you're operating with your hands, but you're looking at a monitor. And that's the hardest in depth perception and so forth. Now we've become, you know, very accustomed to that.
And everybody's keeping an eye on everybody else.
For Dr. Miller, VATS has replaced thoracotomy in more than 80% of lung cancer surgeries. But there are some patients who cannot undergo the new video-assisted procedure.
We have a timeout or a roll call. That's where we go through a list of information about the patient, such as the patient's ID and which side we're operating on. If there's a question, we'll stop, and then we'll find out who can take care of that for us.
All agree.
All right.
In favor?
Communication is a key, because if you're all on the same page, there's no assuming, and the number one thing is patient safety.
The operation will last approximately 2 hours.
We're very lucky. We got a great pathology department. They've got his old slides from his original surgery. So we're going to wedge this out first. And then we'll send it to the pathology and see if it is a met, and that's all that we'll do. If it's a primary lung, then we'll go ahead and do a lobectomy for him. So we'll be able to compare that, because we need to make that decision within 10 to 15 minutes. We don't want to wake him up and bring him back 2 days later and then do his surgery again. But that increases the risk, especially in an 85-year-old.
Within minutes, Dr. Miller has removed the cancerous tissue from Julian Walker's lung.
All right, so we're going to pathology.
The pathologist will determine whether the cancer has spread from Mr. Walker's bladder or if he's developed a separate primary lung tumor.
Okay, so what happens is when we receive a specimen from surgery, we bring it in here, we look at it, we see if we see anything abnormal about it, and then what we do is take a sample and make a slide, and then the pathologist will be able to look at the tissue, look at the section, and see whether there's cancer, see whether it's metastasized somewhere, and then that will determine the type of treatment that the surgeon will give to the patient.
Cells from the lung tumor are matched with bladder tissue taken 6 years earlier.
Actually, all these cells are tumor here. Oh, here's a good one.
So these original slides.
There's a reaction around. No, so very much just like what we saw in that previous biopsy. If I saw this in the bladder, it's the same thing. It's a urothelial carcinoma.
So now this is the frozen section.
Look at that.
See how it's exactly the same?
Exactly the same.
And that's so important to have those slides from 6 years before. Because if there's any question at all, you know, we couldn't proceed if it was a primary lung. And that's why it's very, very important to have these original slides. So now I'm going to go back and tell the team what we have, and then I'll go out and talk to the family.
Dr. Miller now has a definitive answer.
That tumor originated somewhere else and went to the lungs. So what you do a lung conservative procedure. We just took out that wedge. You don't have to do an anatomical resection. If that turned out to be a lung cancer and originated in the lung, then we would have done an anatomical resection of either a segment of the lung or a lobectomy. Well, he did great. We did. We put him to sleep. So after the patient goes to the operating room, the patient's family goes back out to the waiting area. They're communicated with either by phone. Also, there's a paging system that they actually have a beeper on, like they're at a restaurant waiting for a table. As soon as things are done, I come out and talk to them about the pathology, and I instruct them about what we did, the specimens we removed, and the status if he'll need any further treatment.
Which means it wasn't lung cancer, so we didn't have to remove that whole lobe of his lung. And that's why we went.
At that time, we talked to them about seeing the patient in the recovery room or seeing them upstairs, depending on where they go to first. I usually tell the patient's family, you go out and get something to eat, relax for a little bit. Don't go out and smoke any cigarettes, which there is a few that do that. But the big thing is just to be reassured that everything went very well.
He should be okay. He's a tough old guy. He'll do fine with it. If everything looks good, we'll get that tube out of his side in the morning, and he may be able to go home tomorrow.
Aww.
Okay?
So
that'd be great. Get him out of here and get him back to South Carolina.
Yeah, exactly. Get back to work.
I know. Get back to work. That's right, Eddie.
You got some wood you cut.
You got some wood, that's right.
Back in Boston, Dr. Swanson has successfully removed two of the three lobes in Stephen Levine's right lung. Using the VATS procedure. The remaining lobe will expand to fill the cavity, making normal breathing possible again. Dr. Levine's wife is the first to be informed.
The surgery went very well. There were no issues today. We took out the part of the lung we talked about removing, and there were no surprises. Heart rate and blood pressure and all those kinds of things were very stable. He's now going to the recovery room where he'll wake up and we'll make sure he's comfortable, but there were no problems, and we removed the tumor just the way we said we would, and the edges were all clear, so we're very happy about that.
Dr. Swanson here, you all right? Everything went great. Came out very well. You having some pain? I'll fix that in just a minute.
Recovery from VATS usually is quick, without the severe chest wall pain that follows a thoracotomy. Oral pain relievers often are sufficient in the post-operative period. Many patients are out of bed within hours and home in 2 to 4 days. Of course, this is different for every patient.
How are you doing? A little more comfortable? I know you're a little groggy. Everything went fine. Surgery went very well, okay? You got the tumors out completely, okay? And I'll see you in a little while. Later today, Dr. Levine will be up walking with the physical therapist, and likely we'll go home tomorrow on pain pills, and those will be needed for a week or two. And he'll be tired for a couple of weeks, which is typical for anyone who has surgery, but the rest of it is very straightforward. That first day, the changes hour by hour are quite dramatic. You know, the first few hours you feel like you got hit by a small truck.
Just doing some deep breathing, taking deep breaths like that every once in a while, and just, you know, coughing a little bit.
Coughing helps expand the lungs. The deep breathing also helped expand the lungs. It overcomes the body's response to going through surgery, where the lungs can kind of, on the edges, get a little unexpanded. We call that atelectasis. So the deep breathing, where he'll breathe in, hold it for a few seconds, then exhale, it just overcomes that and avoids infection or secretions.
I'm tired. I'm really tired. So, I mean, that's the main thing. I'm tired and you're weak. But I'm sure that's, you know, it's typical of any, you know, surgery. But improving. Like I said, it's only not even a day. So, thank you.
And I'll see you later.
All right, you bet. Thank you.
By this morning, he felt quite good. He was up in a chair around 6 a.m. doing his breathing exercises. And now he's back in bed. He's going to get some standard x-ray tests. And then later today, probably in a couple hours, we'll have him walking. And so we have patients do walking exercise with a physical therapist or a nurse or a medical assistant or sometimes a family member. And that's the best exercise. Keeps the blood flowing, gets the lungs going, makes people feel human again.
Pain management is a big issue with nurses immediately post-op. So we want to make sure that they're comfortable. So we just do a head-to-toe assessment, a physical assessment, make sure all of their dressings are clean and everything looks good. Introduce ourselves, make sure they're comfortable. And then we just check out the orders that the doctors have written, make sure all the medications are given in time. I'm going to use your right arm. Okay. This is the pain medication, and essentially it's a smart pump. He's got his own button to press. It will not deliver pain medication more than every 7 minutes. And over the course of 4 hours, it'll lock him out at a certain dose. So we encourage patients to press it as much as they possibly can. As I said earlier, if they're not getting enough pain management, they need to let us know. Okay.
Don't expect any issues. He looks great. He's not on any oxygen. He's not having significant pain. So we're very pleased with how he's recovering.